Away, go on with our first question, and that will be for you to introduce yourself to our listeners. So I will just ask your question to tell us what you do and who you are and what you aspire to do in future, John.
Thank you, namesake. By name, I'm John Okoth. I'm a Kenyan, 28 years old, single. I'm a teacher by profession, teaching in secondary school, English literature language. Most of my time I've spent interacting with student leaders, both at the secondary schools level, at the universities level, both in the political and the spiritual world. And my aim is that one day we wake up as a country, we wake up as a continent and have a new crop of generation that have got different way of leadership and above all, leaders who uphold high moral standards in whatever things that they are doing. So currently I'm working with a group of students in different high schools and colleges. We have teamed up with the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission of Kenya through integrity clubs in secondary schools. And we are empowering schools, student leaders and different students' councils to uphold the spirit of patriotism, ethics and moral standing in
Thank
the society.
Thank you so much, John. That's a very big impact that you're causing throughout the country. And as someone who's also empowering the youth, trying to bring sanity and trying to bring that kind of believing in ourselves as youth, I would really applaud you for that. And this is a greatness that we are getting from you and from a youth a leader like you. And having such kind of an attitude and mind and vision is shows that in the future we are going to have great leaders who know what youths have passed through. And as you know, as I've always been telling you, we've passed through a lot and you've achieved a lot. And that's why I brought you to our people to also listen to how things are done, how you can come up from a very humble background to make a difference across the world. So, John, I just want to know that in your lifetime, there is a big lesson that you've learned. There's something that you've learned that you need to share with us. And that's what our listeners need to see. What is this biggest life lesson that you've ever learned or you learned throughout your life, John?
Thank you. Before I say the lesson I've learned, I would wish to share with our listeners the circumstances that could have led me to learn the lesson that I'm almost saying. Having been born from a no family, a poor family with a single mother, a widowed mother, from an acrimonious polygamous family where house A is not needed by house B, I grew up as a very bitter young man, hating so many people, some of whom I knew led to the death of my own father. In as much as they had got a lot of clout in the society and a lot of say, and the society really loved them, it was very difficult to convince the society that these are the people who are so evil that should not be trusted with even leadership position, even at the very lowest village level. I remember very well after passing my O-level exams and I wanted to go to A-level, there are a number of issues. A young man has just performed so well amongst us and is supposed to be proceeding with education. There are no school fees. I would see rich people around me not moved, not bothered. They didn't care. Actually, the best they could do was to laugh and say, "You let's wait and see." It took fate to bring close somebody from afar, a man I didn't know, a man I'd never met, a man I'm not related to come and hold my hands, take me to the secondary school, pay my fee, take care of me for the 4 years, and open up my eyes to what God had predestined me to be. I think it is at that point that I learned one thing, that in life, you should never write off somebody until God does so. Yeah, the person you see is not able, the person you see, the home you see that there's nothing good can come out of. That's the family that can later on come and deliver people. And I see today, because even when I go back home today, people want to hear from me. People want to interact with us. They feel there's something good coming out of this particular person. When there's a problem, they would want to run to you, not remembering that just a few years ago, they wanted that family to sink. They wanted you to be a useless person in the society. So never write off a person until God says so.
Never write off.
That is the biggest lesson I've learned in my life.
God says so.
Yes.
That's a very big lesson, and I would concur with you that at times, most of us look at people from the results, other than looking at people from the process. Sometimes some of us look very vulnerable. We look so poor that somebody thinks you can never rise out of that poverty to make a difference in the world. So people who are poor, yes.
And by the way, John, I wanted to tell you something. You know, that particular kind of an attitude has given me a very good atmosphere in handling even my students and even my extra professional work that I do. I can tell you, in the shortest stint of time I've been able to be in school teaching, I have done marvelous things, because I remember 3 years consecutively, I've always been given that class of students other colleagues have rejected. They would tell you, this class cannot make it. This class is full of rowdy boys or girls. This class is full of stupid children. This class cannot just make it. And in one way or the other, you remind those students consecutively every day. You keep on reminding them that no, God could not have created you by mistake. God did not create a failure in you. And as such, you begin to plant a seed in the heart of that child or that student to believe that there is life beyond my failures. There's a brighter tomorrow behind what the predicaments I'm passing through. And I can tell you, the climax of this belief was last year. Hello, can you get me? Yeah, I remember last year I was given a group of students who were going to do the national exams, and they had been written off. But I can tell you, after this particular planting this belief in them, the boys changed with only 3 months to exams, and they did marvelous things that people could not believe, actually coming out and topping the rest of others. So believing in others is a virtue that can make them walk miles of success. Yes, you are becoming fainter. I wish you could do.
Yes.
Thank you. Now I can get you clearly. Now let me answer your question.
Yes.
What I can say, John, is that just like Apostle Paul says somewhere in one of his epistles, that he has got nothing to be proud of. Truthfully speaking, John, I have nothing to be proud of, except for one thing, that When I look at my life, I see a life that God could have designed my life in a particular way, and he made everything possible to work in that particular way, because the only thing that ever made me to go where I am is that unwavering faith and belief that I have a better tomorrow.
Yes.
I remember I was in class one.
Yes, exactly.
With you are my class prefect, John. After the death of my father, abrupt death of my father, I had to run away and go and hide at my grandmother's place, where I stayed for 7 years. At class six, I was able to come back. I got a surrogate father who came to pick me up and was able to guide me through. my mom had just gotten lost in the city, went to look for life for us. And even at that particular point, things were not working out. There was no money. There was no food in the house. There was no even attire. Yes. I remember we would go to school looking like urchins. We were looking like the famous Kenyan chokoras. But deep inside me, there was a conviction that there is a better tomorrow. And I'm the only person who can make this family have a different name, and people can look at our family differently. Finally, God answered my prayers. I did exams, KCPE exams, getting 403 out of 500 marks, breaking a record that nobody had ever put in that particular school and region. And by virtue of that, God opened doors for me, and I got a sponsor from our place who came and held my hands, took me to high school. Now, when I went to high school, I got different people. I got so many Jonathans who were able to stand with me. If you remember the biblical story of David and Jonathan. Yes, I remember. I got so many friends who stood by me. Teachers took me as their sons. Yes. I remember the even times I would even go and lodge in the school principal's house. That convinced me more that God has something for me. For because in every situation that there was difficulty, God always provided an opportunity for me. And when we when I finished my exams and KCSE exams, I was able to score well. I was able to be admitted in the university.
Okay.
The doors of opportunity opened wider. So wider that I only had the best to choose from. And you know, I had got these particular proposals from people who knew me well. Others wanted me to be a lawyer. Others wanted me to be an actuarial scientist. Others wanted me to be a business person.
Yes.
But deep within me, I wanted to be a life changer. I wanted an opportunity to interact with people one-on-one. And the only profession that could let me do that was education. Being a teacher. So when I was telling people I wanted to be a teacher, I had scored so highly, I would do very courses that are rendered lucrative. I told them I want to be a teacher because I want to interact one-on-one with the normal, neglected Kenyan child. So my steps have been very consistent. My steps have been very miraculous. People don't understand me. Today when I go to the village, some the last time they saw me at the burial of my father. The last time they saw me when my mother had been chased away from her matrimonial home after being called a witch. Others, the last time they saw me, I had just done KCPE and I had got nowhere to go. But after years of silence, after years of absence, a young man comes back to the village, so successful, looking so friendly, looking so touch lives, is so out. Can be able to convince people, wait a minute. This is the way to go. This is, it is,
exactly.
It can be done. It was done. You can do it.
Thank you so much.
That's all I can say.
It's great to know that people can achieve from that kind of a setup. You know, you have got a family setback. You've got a thing that we would call something that doesn't look like a bright future. Your future looked like it was crumbling. It looked like it was the last thing you're gonna get out of life, but you have gone against it. Yes.
And by the way, let me cut you shortly.
Yes.
You know what made my situation to be more disparate? I am number three in our family. A family of five. So I'm number three in that lineage. Now, a situation where the firstborn daughter or the firstborn daughter of that family drops out of class 7 somewhere midway and dies. Just a few months or rather years after the father has died mysteriously. As if that is not enough, the second girl, the second child in that lineage
also
drops out of school and becomes mad. Now, you see, the third person, and this is the first son of the family.
Yeah.
People were eager to know what will become of him. This is the son of this family. This is the man who is holding the mantle from the father. And he's so weak that the first two have already gone like that, like chaff. What is going to happen? I think that is the time God came out to reveal himself. And you know, sometimes I always take my life like Jesus, because there's a time Jesus, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Jesus had to come to Africa and hide somewhere in Egypt. And I can tell you, personally, I had to go literally go and hide at my maternal grandmother's place. To hide there, I came back after tormentors of my mother, tormentors of my father, and my tormentors. Majority of them had died. That was somewhere around 10 years down the line.
I
was coming back and I was starting from scratch. Our home had remained a shell of what it was at first. My life is purely a miracle. Sometimes the only language that can explain my life probably are the tears. That is why sometimes I wrote a book called The Tears That Spoke.
I can get you, John. So thank you so much, John.
Yes.
That is
please go.
It's giving us courage. It's giving us power. It's giving us a hope. You know, that those people, and more so the millennial, the people that are in our age, some of them lost hope already, because you go to the village, you go to our societies, you get people got swept away by some kind of life that you understand. So, John, I would just like you to give one good advice to the millennial, the youths, the women, those who feel that they are vulnerable, and they only think that for them to make a change or to bring something in this world, they need somebody. What do you? This episode is brought to you by Schedule. Schedule is a cloud-based shift scheduling solution that helps business across various industries, verticals, to schedule and manage their employees' shifts and record work hours. Schedule offers a drag-and-drop based shift scheduler that allows managers to add shifts and assign appropriate personnel to specific tasks. Visit schedule.com and learn how best you can program your working shifts. Yes.
Thank you. What I can say, having grown from that kind of an acrimonious society, I learned one thing. Man is so inhuman that he smiles and gives you very pleasant promises during the day.
Very correct.
But the same man works against you during the night. So much so that it becomes very dangerous to believe in human beings. But what I can say is this. Kiswahili people say, palipo nia, hapakosi njia.
There's a way.
Where there is a way, where there's a will, there is a way. Now, God looks into your life and sees a seed of greatness. Everybody has a seed of greatness. Everybody, irrespective of the society where you are born, family, the country, or wherever, everybody has a seed of greatness planted into him. The difference is, are you able to identify the seed of greatness in you? If you can identify the seed of greatness in you, then I can compare you to Moses when he was leading the children of Israel. God did not ask Moses, for how long have the children of Israel crying? God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? That is the seed of greatness in each and every one of us. At whatever the cost,
hold on what you believe in.
Hold on to what you believe in. You are a young girl, but what you believe in. You are a young girl and you are facing challenges and you want to follow this route. There are always two options about life. There's always the shortcut. And there's always the right cut. Shortcuts are always very persistent, and shortcuts are always very appealing. The only disadvantage with the shortcuts is that the moment you have chosen to follow shortcuts, you are assured you are going to fail and you are going to end up in shame. Giving up is never a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Crying for help that people can help you is never a solution. Posting your sorry state in social media for people to read, they can only pity you, but they can never help you. So, number one,
correct.
Identify what you want to be. After identifying what you want to be, that is the point God will come for you. And he will not just come for you. He will begin by identifying to you people who will stand with you to make that particular dream a reality. Like me, I have met people, even where I am working currently, John. I don't know how this man got me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he got my contacts. I don't know how he got to know about me. I've never known of him. But somewhere along the way, God connects people. These people we call destiny shapers.
Correct, John.
They will come and help you shape your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on to your dream. Accept that the challenges you're passing through are there to shape you and make you a complete human being.
Thank you, John. That's another impactful advice you give to our youths, that they should always hold on to what they believe in. And this is something that I've always been stressing. It has already helped me a lot. But it took me time to identify that. It took me mentors to come along to identify that to me. And I'm so happy that you believe in this, that if you hold on to what you believe, then the shortcomings that people do have and do pass through will never come. If you choose shortcut, you're choosing to fail. You have to get the right cut. And giving up is never a solution. Oh my, identify what you will be and God will help you to know the right people to contact. John, that's a very brilliant, impactful advice that you give to our youths. So the last thing that I would want you to discuss, Joe, as a youthful leader, what do you have for the youth and why did you decide to come up with this kind of movement to see leadership changing into that potential youthful leadership and also connecting with people to try and bring some impactful things into our lives? As I know, you are now embracing for an election in the constituency where you are in. That's Ugenya constituency. But are we having some impact? Are youth showing that there is something? Are we well represented? And if we are not, John, what do you think we should do as youths to get represented fully, John?
Thank you. Thank you. What I can say is that as a nation, we are suffering so much. Of politicians, these thieves we call politicians, these inhuman characters we call politicians. The truth of the matter is, in as much as they kill people, in as much as they kill the youth, in as much as they are killing our dreams and us and our hopes, they will die. They will die one day. They will not live forever. But what we have to do as a generation is to ensure that every seed they plant, that seed does not grow.
Yes.
I will give you an example. Politicians in Africa have got this habit of, I am evil, I acquired my wealth through evil, I got my power through evil, I lead using evil, and even my children are children of evil, and they will grow up as evil people. Now, what will stop us from this kind of seeds growing? Number one, youths of our country must know the danger that they are likely to face in 5, 10, 15, 20 years to come. In as much as, you know, leaders have got the habit of calling us leaders of tomorrow. Yes. I want to disagree with that fact. We are not leaders of tomorrow. We are leaders of both today and tomorrow. And as such, we need to tell leaders to give us a break and allow us also to make our decisions. For example, like in the case of Ugenya, there's a man who was entrusted with leadership and has done virtually nothing, a man who cannot even express himself in the House of Commons. Even before his electorate, he cannot convince anybody that this one had to do. And then you tell me because our youths have become so despicable, they have become so disparate and poor, somebody comes and gives them 100 shillings to go and beat others so that they can be able to get yes. leadership positions. I think it is high time to hold hands mm-hmm. of one another and remind one another that, wait a minute, it is not person A's future that is at stake. It is our future that is at stake here. If we allow this man to be in leadership, his family will remain in leadership, and we will remain people who will be condemned forever.
Exactly.
And as such, we should never even give them a forum to express their evil mm-hmm. intentions. For example, why would a leader come to me and tell me, let us go and beat so-and-so? Mm-hmm. I want to tell the Kenyan youth that one basic characteristic you need to know from a leader and write that leader off and never listen or associate yes. with him is when that leader tells you that our tribe is targeted, our sub-tribe mm-hmm. is targeted, our group is targeted. Nobody is targeting yes. anybody. I tend to believe as a Kenya and in Africa, we only have got two mm-hmm. tribes. The tribe of the vast poor majority yes. and the tribe of the minor, the minority that is rich and controlling yes. resources. And this minority has found a way of coming to manipulate the majority. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, this minority, every time the majority rises up against them, they're always defeated.
Correct.
And I can assure you, we can defeat them, we will defeat them, and forever they will remain condemned.
Correct.
If we stand as a generation and as youths and say, it is high time we chart our destiny mm-hmm. together.
Thank you so much, John. And that was a brilliant one again. You've just advised the youths to identify the dangers that they would be facing in the next 5, 10, or 20 years instead of seeing the now, that you are given maybe handouts like 100 Kenya shillings or even 500 Kenya shillings, or let's say even 10,000 Kenya shillings. That will just solve your today. But what about 5 years to come? What about the 10 or 20 years to come? So leadership, for a good leadership, we have to identify the dangers that are associated with us in the next 5 years. We should be strategical other than being something that we think about today only in an operational way. And then you've talked about handouts, which has really killed us as youths, the handouts that we accept. I once upon a time talked about the handouts, and my view towards handouts is that it's always as a loan. The politicians comes with handouts and loans us. They give us loan, and we don't know that this is a loan they are giving to us. So once they get into power, the resources that were supposed to be given to us, they squander it, they take it, because they are paying the loans. You are repaying the loans that you were given as handouts. That one I also condemn, and I really push it as well, that youth should start rejecting handouts. Then, why should you accept to do something that is causing a negative impact to others just because a politician told you that our community tribal are targeted? You've touched on that, and I really believe in that, and I really know that there is only two tribes. We have only two societies. We have only two communities within Africa and world over. That is the poor majority and the rich minority. So when we stand together, if we stand together and if we do things together, as you have said, John, we are going to see some difference. So last thing that I want you to touch on, John, before we leave, you have wrote books. What inspired you to start writing books, John?
Thank you. I've done three books. I'm doing the fourth one.
Yes.
Now, the first book I wrote, what inspired me is the life I passed okay. through as a young boy to mm-hmm. where I am. And that book was made out.
Okay.
Was to convince someone that you are on the right path. The only thing you need is to remain true to your goals.
Okay.
Now, that I wrote was concerning the challenges that I saw in colleges and in universities.
Mm-hmm.
there are challenges, there are financial challenges, relationship challenges.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of confusion in our colleges world over, not Kenya alone, not Africa alone, world over.
Okay.
And instead of universities and colleges churning out people who will save the society,
mm-hmm.
colleges have become hideout of thugs and people who are sexually corrupted, and they can't reason well.
Mm-hmm.
So the second book was addressing the same. Now the third book that I was writing and I'm still working on is addressing the current challenges we're having in education sector in Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah, they said a lot of things have changed and changed for the worse.
Yes.
And I am bringing three people on board. I'm bringing the student, I'm bringing the society, which the government is part of,
mm-hmm.
and I'm bringing in together, I'm bringing on board the parent.
Yes.
What should I do? What should I do as a teacher? What should the society do? What should the parent do so that mm-hmm. this child who is in the middle is raised as a child who will be beneficial to the entire society?
Mm-hmm.
The book starts by highlighting how far we have deviated from the correct thing.
Okay.
Highlighting the challenges we have faced, the challenges mm-hmm. we are having, the realities, like you hear a student has killed a teacher.
Yes.
You realize students were found doing sex orgies in some dingy corners.
Yes.
You hear that students are burning schools left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the same time, the parents come and say our students need their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this leave the common teacher? Does the teacher still have the ability to steer, to lead a child along the paths of morality?
Yes.
Does a teacher still have a say on the lifestyle of a child?
Mm-hmm.
And if the teacher is erased from the entire equation, what kind of a society should we wait for?
Correct.
And that is a thuggish society, a society whereby everybody does what they want, provided he is convinced what I'm doing is mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
That's very well illustrated, John. And thank you so much for being with us since we started this interview. So I just want to know if at all someone wants to reach you when, like, for example, after you publish your book, somebody wants to reach you, or maybe somebody thinks that you have something so great and they need to connect with you. How will they get you? Possibly, what in what ways or websites should these people get you, John?
I think I'm so much very, very active on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook identity is teacher, that is TROJ mm-hmm. Okoth.
Okay.
That is my Facebook identity. Once you type TR, you will get me there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you type Okoth, you'll get me.
Okay.
You can also get me through my phone number, that is +254 793 686 480.
Correct. Thank you so much, Joe.
I'll be glad to interact with people from different parts of the country, parts of the continent.
Yes.
I'm willing to partner with different organizations to ensure that at the end of the day, we rescue the African youth from the clothes. Selfish politicians and a rotten society for a better
thank
tomorrow.
You so much, John, and that was a very impactful message that you had for us, John. Both the youth, the women, the vulnerable and neglected societies, as they refer to themselves, even though I'm pushing people to understand that we are not neglected, it's just that we were not believing in ourselves and we are not showing out the potential that we have. It was great to have you, John. It was great to interact with you, and I know that our listeners have really enjoyed this time, John. So what is your last word for the listeners, John?
My last word for the listeners is I have two parting shots. Number one, I would say that we have a bright future as a nation, we have a bright future as a continent, we have a bright future as a generation. Number two, we have to fight and protect that future with the jealousy that it deserves. Mm-hmm. And we should not allow anybody to take away our future and slaughter our future on the altar of greed and selfishness. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, John. And that was a very interesting part shot. We have a bright future, and we should defend that bright future with jealousy it deserves. Correctly understood and well spoken, John. I wish you well in the steps that you are taking, even as you prepare to take your master's in the month of September. I wish you well, and we shall still communicate. And I would like to also introduce you to some people you can interact with and make a change in the world and the society as well, John. So thank you so much. And when you go back to work and also to home, greet the people at home and tell them that we are changing the world together, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. And God bless you. Bye.
We all know how hard it is to grow, right? Especially if we are in the first month or years of our journey, of our business startup, or we're coaching, or we're writing, and we want to spread the word about us. We all know that is pretty difficult to get the word out there. But that's exactly where I come in. I want to host an ad about your business into my podcast, Impact by Choice. So look me up on LinkedIn, Andrada Anite. I would love to work with you further on, and I would love to help you boost the visibility of your brand.